In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The theme of freedom is central to the Apostle Paul, and you will see that throughout his writings. But here in the Gospel of John, it occurs only once, and that is in our Gospel reading for today. But what kind of freedom is Jesus talking about today in John chapter 8? Looking around the world and to the lives of humans, the desire and quest for freedom applies to all aspects of life. To be released from prison, to strive for proper living conditions, to be free from the pressure at work, to escape illnesses, addiction, political or racial oppression. But the freedom Jesus talks about in our reading is the freedom that characterizes true disciples. True disciples of Jesus Christ, are those who are indeed free. True disciples of Jesus Christ are those who are indeed free. In many ways, the desire and struggles for freedom, whether in our personal life or in a broader social and political setting, are all related to our human condition. That we humans are caught up in the reality of sin. And that we have to struggle with its many symptoms. As Romans chapter 3 tells us today, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Here and now, we struggle with the desire to sin. And its full force remains alive until the end of our lives. We would like to think of sin no longer ruling our lives. But as Paul realized for himself, it remains a constant force even for him who was baptized. We have to speak of this human reality and the struggles with sin for us who are and live as Christians. Luther had his personal struggles to master sin, finding himself entrapped by it and leading him to live in a monastery trying to escape it. Sin is not merely an occasional misconduct, but rather behind every sinful act lies a desire to sin that holds us captive even after baptism. We cannot look at ourselves as baptized who are completely free from the powers of sin. What we learn about ourselves is that we are humans gifted with a will. This means that we have an obligation to act in certain ways. That is, to live according to the Lord's will. We are not like a piece of wood just floating endlessly in water. Instead, we are conscious beings, free to act and choose. In that regard, we are free, but at the same time, with that freedom comes responsibility. If we were just robots or like the floating wood, we would not be responsible and accountable for our conduct. Though we would like to think of ourselves as being in control of our moral decisions, we are aware of the deeper problem. We commit sin, and we are slaves to sin. And this slavery is more than an occasional moral failure. The deeper issue is the broken relationship with God, where we do not love, fear, and obey Him as we should. Yes, in Christ Jesus, we have found freedom. The Son has set us free from sin's condemnation through our baptism. He is the one who is truly free, and He continually set us free through His free forgiveness and enables by the Spirit to serve Him and our failure neighbor. As Christians, we live in that God-given freedom in spite of sin's power. Many in our society want a freedom that knows no limits. A person might think he or she has reached true freedom once outside the relationship with God. He thinks he's no longer bound to anyone but himself. She can do and choose as she pleases. But the Lord says, you are not free. You are held captive. There is no free existence. To use a description from John's Gospel, we are either bound to the things from below or the things from above. There is no in-between. To fall out of the relationship with God means to find oneself on the other side, bound to the things below. Even if someone believes himself to be free from God and chooses a moral, responsible life, he finds himself on the other side, separated from God, and his works remain sinful. He is captive to the outside power of sin. We have been given true freedom, but only by being in Jesus. So, how does this freedom come to us? How does one become a true disciple who experiences this kind of freedom the Lord speaks about? It begins by knowing and understanding what it is. This God-given freedom. It certainly is not a freedom of relying on oneself or separating oneself from the relationship with God. That may seem like freedom, but ironically, it is an enslaved and sinful freedom. Only in God do we find everything we need for our spiritual welfare and what we must know about who we are. That He has created us. That He has chosen us before our birth. And that through baptism, He has made us His children and lets us live under His grace. We are truly free when we live a life with God, as it was meant to be since the creation of Adam and Eve. Therefore, someone who is truly free is the one who understands and knows what freedom is. To be made free by the Son and find in Him freedom. This truth will set you free. This means that the righteousness we are required to demonstrate becomes a gifted righteousness received in the forgiveness of our sins. As Paul says in our epistle reading from Romans chapter 3 today, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. God is merciful because He has given Himself for us. And through Him, the knowledge of true freedom is received and understood. Being set free and being conscious of it make one a true disciple. And in that freedom, we are told to love God above all things. So we no longer must love God. We do so willingly and joyously because the Holy Spirit awakens us, draws us, and makes us alive through faith in Jesus. It is true that here John does not speak of, you know, our justification by faith in the same choice of words as the Apostle Paul uses in Romans chapter 3. But freedom is nothing else than the gift which is received through the absolution, the forgiveness of our sins. Christ wants his disciples to know where they can find their freedom. And it is in his words. It is through the word that all we have said happens. We must stay with the word, which brings us that freedom and sustains us in it. Not only do we live in that freedom, and not only do we know it, but we also find it through the power of God's word. The Greek word translated as abide, that we heard today, abide in my word, that Jesus says. That word means that we should dwell in it, right next to it, never abandon it. Discipleship is more than going to church to attend worship or participating in group events or in a Bible study. Discipleship is staying in Christ's word and sacraments and wanting to receive freedom as forgiveness. Abiding in his word is more than just studying or learning it. Through it, Christ speaks to us, forgives us, and guides us. He began our relationship, and now he wants to remain in personal contact with us through his word, by us practicing and nurturing our relationship with him through it, through his word. In the past, we began a new life in truth and in freedom, and now God continues to give freedom as a gift. And Reformation Sunday is the occasion to discover anew that our future has begun with the gift of freedom in Christ's word. Many of us have heard a story of Luther being kidnapped, or let's say fake kidnapped, on the orders of his chief protector, Prince Frederick the Wise. Luther was kept hidden for his own safety for almost a year in the Wartburg Castle in Germany. But let me tell you, a guy could do a lot worse than be held up there. The views from the Wartburg are breathtaking. Built on the highest hill anywhere around, it lets you look out and see almost forever in just about every direction. You can see why back in 1067, Ludwig der Springer chose that spot to build his dream house, secure and spectacular. I mean, it's the kind of real estate only the rich and famous could afford today. Still, Luther couldn't be really happy at the Wartburg. His famous struggles with self-doubt and guilt returned. He very much felt the devil assaulting him. It isn't unlimited, and personal security that makes us truly free. And it isn't just physical confinement that makes us feel like prisoners. Jesus says to us, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Ironically, though, God used those 10 months of Luther's imprisonment to set millions of people free. For during that time, Luther did most of the work to translate the New Testament into the language of the people. And Jesus also says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The word of Scripture is the truth that declares Christ. And knowing that his death and resurrection has set us free, we are free indeed. No strength of ours can match his might. We would be lost, rejected. That's how we sang today in the second stanza of the Reformation hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." In these words, we find the insight that Martin Luther discovered once upon a time in Wittenberg. We affirm these truths today with him. My own efforts do not bring me any closer to the goal of being with God. I cannot earn my relationship with him on my own, nor can I buy it. It is given to me as a gift, freely. That is, by grace alone. Sola gratia. Heard through his word alone. Sola scriptura. And received in faith alone. Sola fide. These phrases are not empty and antiquated, but rather bring us the wonderful news of my freedom won for me by Jesus. The righteous shall live by faith alone and not by works. And the grace of God lifts me up, and through his word, I remain lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.